I want to speak to you on, this is how he fights my battles. Let me give you a little bit of the background and we'll get right to the word. And then we're going to open up the altars this morning. That the nation of Israel, you know the story, has been in bondage because the Pharaohs had forgot Joseph's family. They've been in bondage. The Hebrew children have been in bondage for 400 years. And the Lord has heard their cry after 400 years for deliverance. The Lord sends Moses to emancipate them. If you're with me, say amen. And it was God's plan. It was God's directive. It was about an 11-day trek. But it was God's plan for them to go up immediately from Egypt to the promised land, to Canaan. Occupy the promised land flowing with milk and honey. And however, they were afraid. You know the story. They sent in spies. And they were there for 40 days. The 10 of the spies come back and say, we can't do it. So the Lord says, okay, this is what happens when you don't have belief. They didn't walk by faith. They walked by sight. And so they end up spending 40 years wandering in the desert. Everybody over 20 years of age has to pass away. The younger generation gets to go in under Joshua and Caleb's leadership. But for 40 years, they have looked forward to going into the promised land. But they also know as they go into the promised land, there's going to be some battles. Say battles. And the first battle that they're going to fight, they can actually see from the other side of the Jordan River. It's a city-state, a garrison city called Jericho. It's a massive fortress. Archaeologists tell us that it had two exterior walls. The outer wall was shorter, smaller, if you will. And then it had a massive fortress of an inner wall. The archaeologists have found in around Jericho the footings of that day. And they literally believe it was about 6 feet wide, but upwards the inner wall of 40 to 50 feet high. Just perspective, this wall right here behind me is about 17 or 18 feet high. So almost 2.5 times as high. It was as if the Amorites, the people of Canaan, were saying, you know what? If you're going to come in and take the land, you're going to have to go through us, Jericho. You're going to have to deal with us as a massive city. The Israelites know what they're going to face. Before I go any further, can I ask? Would you apply it to your life today? What are you facing today? What is it that you face today, March 3, 2019, or for 2019 and beyond, that you say, you know what? I really need God to do this, and you fill in the blank space. It could be a miracle in your relationships. It could be a miracle in your children, a miracle in your finances. It might be a miracle in your own spiritual journey where you're saying, you know what? I'm just anticipating a breakthrough in a particular area of my life, but I know it's going to have to be God's work. What is the battle that you need God's help with today? What is the miracle that you are anticipating? What is the impossible thing in your life that you're saying, Lord, this won't happen unless you show up? That's why we're here today. That's why you come to the house of God. And if you don't know what God wants to do in your life, then you're not going to be able to believe what he wants to do in your life. Can I tell you, just as a pastor, in my 26-year tenure, I don't think I've ever been more excited for the future of Brighton Assembly of God. I really am. But I recognize there are some things that only God can do in the future. And I'm glad and I'm happy with that. So let's look at Joshua chapter 5. And just a reminder, you know chapter divisions, whether in the Old Testament or the New Testament, those are not inspired. Sometimes we ought to be able to just flow from one chapter to the next, and that's what we'll do today. Look at chapter 5 on the screen. Joshua chapter 5, verse number 13 says, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, and he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand, Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down, say face down, face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. I want you to just look with me simply today at four facts about the Lord fighting the battles for you. Fact number one is this: God doesn't give the plan until the time is right. Joshua had probably been, Brighton, the Secretary of Defense for Moses. We know that he's one of Moses' top generals of his army. He's the right-hand man to Moses for going on 40 years. Now, after 40 years, we know Joshua 1, Moses passes away, and the Lord says, "You know what? Okay, Moses is dead. Let's move on." Can I just say parenthetically? Leadership that doesn't think they can be replaced. I always try and remember what Charles de Gaulle said. Charles de Gaulle said, "The graveyard's full of irreplaceable people." And this man, Moses, has passed away, and Joshua has become the leader, and Joshua knows what's ahead. Moses has said to Joshua in days gone by, "Joshua, when we go up, we're going to have to face Jericho." Moses knew this because Moses himself had been a general in Pharaoh's army before he escaped to the desert. The Roman historian Josephus told about how Moses, under his leadership of the people of Egypt, had led the Egyptians to a great victory over the Ethiopians. Moses knew what was going to be faced by the children of Israel. Moses would have known about the key cities that they would have to take. And Joshua is standing there now looking at Jericho, and he has to be wondering, Brighton, how in the world are we going to take this impenetrable city? He's been thinking about it, and yet the answer hasn't come until this very moment. Can I just say to you, we can know something's on the horizon for our lives, and yet it doesn't mean that God's unfaithful or he's disconcerned. If God doesn't tell us, if he doesn't let us know days or weeks or months or years before he provides for the miracle. Sometimes we kind of take the posture in our faith, "Well, you know what? God hasn't given me the answer. God must not care." That's not true. He promises us to deliver us on a needs-to-know basis. His ways are higher than my ways. His ways are higher than your ways. It wouldn't benefit us to get all the information in advance, right? And I'll talk about that in a moment. If the Lord had told Joshua ahead of time, "Joshua, you know what, this is what's going to happen. You're going to walk around the city 13 times and the walls are going to come tumbling down." If he had told him that 20 years ahead of time, Joshua would have, "What in the world? That doesn't even make sense." You see, there's a rest for you and I in the battle. Just knowing that God's going to take care of us. So God doesn't give us the plan until the time's right. Secondly, I want you to see, Brighton, the second fact is this: to receive the answer, Joshua needed to move from warfare mode to worship mode. Now, I want you to read this. Go to the next slide, would you please, Sister Lori? Read this passage again and just stay with me. Look what it says here. "Are you for us or for our enemies?" Stop right there. It sounds like Joshua's ready for a fight, doesn't it? And in essence, he's asking this guy, "You know what? If you're not for us, I want you to know we're going to throw it down right now because we're in battle mode." I don't think that Joshua recognizes yet this is an angelic being. He doesn't have that awareness in his spirit. You remember we studied the book of Hebrews back last summer and before? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, what does it say? Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Rhonda and I were talking the other day, and Rhonda said to me, you know, Brad, you know, I'd really, she's chuckling because she knows where I'm going with this, that she's like, you know what? I really want to see an angel. She said, I've heard they're really big. I said, honey, there's a lot of people that think you live with one every day. Ask her. I said that. She didn't laugh like you are. But Joshua didn't understand that angels traffic in and out of our lives. You know what? You could have entertained. I'm sure you have. Somewhere along the line, your paths have crossed with an angel and you didn't even know it. But Joshua isn't aware that this is an angel. So Joshua is ready to fight. Joshua has fought his entire life. Can I just say, transition? Let me suggest that some of you here today, this is you. You've been fighters your whole life. If we were to converse, you would say, you know what, Brad? Hey, anything I got, I had to fight for. I had to make it happen. I'm a self-made man or a self-made woman. I mean, if I describe myself, you know what? I've had to work hard for this. And now that you're growing in the Lord, you're realizing that God's ways are different than your ways. And Joshua needs to understand, just to slow down and stop thinking about how he's going to win the battle. And he needs to do this. And God wants to just tell him, you know what? All you need to do is just spend time in my presence. That's amazing. Just in the presence of the Lord. You see, there's a paradigm shift that's taking place within Joshua's life that is occurring here. And it's not so much, hey, that we take the posture, what we can do for God, but it's what he can do through us. And here Joshua is, and he's ready to fight, and he's even ready. Think about this, Brighton, because you see this in the ministry. He's even ready to fight God's means of what God wanted to use to help him. You see there? Hey, you for us against us, bro. He's ready to fight the very means that God wants to use. He can't even differentiate at this time between friend and foe. And you can be the person that kind of has this edge that you're going to fight the very thing that God wants to do, to use, to help you along the way. And what God really wanted to do in Joshua's heart is to say, put down your sword, Josh, and open up your heart. Move from warfare to worship. Now look at what Joshua does. And the angel identifies himself, right? Look at what it says. Neither, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Then Joshua fell face down, say face down again, and reverenced and in reverence and asked him, what message does the Lord have for his servants? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your shoes, your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Did you see it there, right? You can ask Rhonda. I've preached on this before. I never saw this before this past week. You know what? He says, you know what? I'm not for either one. You don't get it, Josh. And Joshua does something. He just lays down. The very last thing you want to do as a soldier is you want to lay down. You stand up, man. You make yourself bigger than you really are. I mean, armies have always tried to portray themselves as bigger than they are. But that's not what Joshua does. He doesn't stand up. He lays down. He makes himself vulnerable. You want to stand up in your flesh. And then the last thing you want to do is You don't want to take your shoes off. I mean, you take your shoes off and you start running around or chasing after the enemy or running away. You cut your feet on something sharp, man. You're done. But you see, he's moving from warfare mode to worship mode. And he's saying before the Lord, you know what, Lord, I'm vulnerable. I'm not going to take matters into my own hands. I'm not strong enough. Anything that I could do, Lord, or contrive isn't going to be enough to be able to conquer that city. And this is a marvelous revelation to have as a follower of Jesus. And there are some people that you never trust the Lord because here's the deal. You don't think you need to. Or you think somehow God benefits from your efforts. When all the while, it's just him letting you benefit by being a partner with him and him allowing you to observe what he's doing. And the fact of the matter is, when you become vulnerable, you're humbling yourself before God and you're saying, Lord, I admit my need of you. You're growing up and you're in the faith and you're saying, Lord, what anything I could do is just in the natural, but what you can do is in the supernatural. He won't give you the right plan, the plan until the time's right. He wants you to move from warfare mode to worship mode. Thirdly, God's plan will always, say always, always be different than your plan. Always. You can count on it. I've had lunch with Pastor Alberta. Just to hear his story, it was amazing, from being out east, how the Lord brought him here. For Ron and I, just how the Lord brought us here. You know what? I can say this in my journey, if you will. I've never seen God work the plan like I thought he should have, or could have, or would have. Just being straight up with you today. Never worked out like I thought he could have, should have, or would have. So let's take a look at the next slide. Now we're to Joshua 6. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I've delivered. See, it's past tense. It's already done, even though the battle hasn't been taking place. Deliver Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in. Now, I don't know a lot of things, right? But I can promise you, Joshua and the children of Israel never thought about taking the city in that manner. It makes no sense. In fact, it provides all kinds of other questions, doesn't it? This is a garrison city. You know what? There's chariots. There's warriors. There's weapons. You know what? How are the walls going to come down? Are the angels going to tear it down? Is there going to be a big earthquake? How's it going to come down? And you see, Brighton, a lot of people think if they have more information, that's going to create a greater faith in their life. I want to dispel that today. If you miss anything else I say, please don't miss this. That simply isn't true. If you have greater faith, it's not going to be because of more information. The greater faith is going to come out of your relationship with him. God telling you about the situation in great detail, but you not having relationship with him is only going to create anxiety within your life. So look with me, kind of a subset, 4 facts of the strategy real quick. First off, the strategy was spiritual. There was absolutely nothing of military significance about the strategy. Nothing. It doesn't say anything about, hey, on the 13th revolution around, go to full frontal assault or try and put a pincers in between the people or get a battering ram, build a ramp to traverse the walls, or now's the time to launch the catapult. The angel says, walk around 13 times. Let the priest sound the trumpet and then shout. And I think it teaches us, I know it bears repetition, if you will. It's teaching us before when we come into a battle, that it's first and foremost, Brian, hear me, it's going to be won spiritually before it is won in the physical realm. Every victory is won supernaturally in the spiritual realm before it's realized in the natural realm. No matter what the parameters. I met with a man after the men's meeting yesterday. And he sat down. We talked probably 15, 20 minutes. You know what? We prayed afterwards. And you know what? In fact, I tried to share with the brother, you know what? More than anything else. Hey, you know what? You can try and write, or you can call, or you can visit, and all these things, but don't do anything until you get a directive from God and you pray first, because it's a spiritual battle. And no matter what the parameters of your battle are that you face, first and foremost, it's a spiritual battle. You've got to settle that in your mind today. What does Paul write? For we, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There's a spiritual struggle at the core of the circumstance or of the battle that you face. So say it with me, spiritual. Secondly, it was physical in this realm. It was a miracle that God wanted to perform. And the Lord would have the people of the Hebrew people and have you and I participate. He wants us to be there to watch it happen. The children of Israel really didn't have to do a whole lot except to watch him do it. They just had to obey, and he said that what he would do. And can I ask you, Brighton? While you're in the presence of the Lord, you may sense he wants you to do this. And it may not make sense to you. Stop right there. You see, we get so living in the flesh that we kind of, even in our spiritual lives, we say, you know what, if I can do X and I can do Y and I can do Z and it lines up just like I want it to, then I'm going to get this result. Kind of like we're in some kind of big game of spiritual chess or checkers. If I can jump him, then he's going to double jump me, but then I'm going to get a triple jump over here. And the fact of the matter is, the Lord's just saying, you know what? Would you obey me and watch what I do? Sometimes God's asking you to obey him because he just wants to see if you'll obey him. Reveals what's on the inside. Sometimes God's asking you to obey him because he wants to get your spiritual momentum going as a direction, kind of like riding a bike. And you think, you know what, I'm headed north. But once you get going, the Lord's going to turn you south and say, you know what, no, it's this direction I want you to go. And you think, you know what, you're going to direct, and the Lord's just saying all the while, you know what, I've got it, but I'm going to let you watch to see what I do. It's spiritual, it's physical, it's radical. Can you imagine the faith that it took to start walking around this garrison city? They would have never thought of taking the city that way. And here's what I would say. There's kind of a temptation in our lives. We see what God did in a battle for somebody else, and we think, you know what, it's got to work out the same way for us. Ron and I saw that when we were at year 4 at the church. We had bought this piece of property. I don't even know if you know Pastor Alberto, off of Buno, and the community just rose up. They're like, man, you know, we don't want those people here. We don't want cars to slam, doors slamming, and we don't want those people here. We had been told, you know what, it was all done. And then the politicians came back to us and said, you know what? Hey, just sue us. What we did was illegal, and we know you have rights to go here. You own the property, but this is the way it's going down. And Ron and I all the while kind of thought, you know what? We've heard these stories of what he did for this Bible school or this church, and somebody sells a piece of property to them for a dollar, and that's how it's going to be for us. And you know what? That's great for them. But that wasn't how the battle was going to be won for us. You know how the battle was going to be won for us? The Lord was going to give us the money to buy a prime piece of property. And our flesh thought, okay, and we had people knocking on our, hey, we'll represent you in court. we had people from the church saying, hey, let's take them to court. And that's when the Lord just spoke to our hearts. You know what? Not my way. I've got something better. Can I tell you? Sometimes I lay in bed at night. I think, oh, God, I probably wouldn't even be here if you had put us off of that little out of the way place over there. But the Lord shut the door over there and then just opened up where a church not even 4 years old. Can I tell you, when you start a church, you're just grateful to pay the bills. But after 4 years, this church was able to pay cash for this property at $675,000 cash. It was a God thing. God didn't say, I'm going to give you the property for a buck. He said, I'm going to give you the bucks for the property. It was amazing. And so many times we're looking at somebody else and we say, you know what? They're a miracle, please, for me. And the Lord is so unique. He wants to do something so unique in your life. You just have to sit back and say, you know what, Lord? I just can't wait I'm waiting with anticipation. What you're going to do for me? What's the word say? It's not on the screen, but jot down the reference. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. He's got something great prepared for your life. You say, well, I blew it back here. Can I tell you, the Lord's able to restore what the cankerworm has eaten. He's able to take you at your point of need today, and he's able to do something brand new in your life today. And none of us know where we're going to be 5 years from now if Jesus tarries. But it's exciting to see what the Lord has in store. So say it with me, spiritual. Say nice and loud. Physical. Say radical. Say simple. It was nothing complicated about it whatsoever. Anybody could do it. What are you going to do? Walk. And that's often the way it is with God. A great man, Syrian warrior by the name of Naaman, who's a leper. The prophet says what? Go dunk yourself in the Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. And can I tell you, the simplicity of that instruction almost allowed Naaman to miss out on the miracle that God had for him. Don't let the simple blessings of God be missed in your life. Naaman goes down, he even says, you know what, the Jordan, are you kidding me? We got better bodies of water. And what does the servant say? You know what, if he had told you to do something complicated, would you have done it? Why don't you just do this? He goes down and on that 7th dip. The Lord tells the man born blind in John chapter 9, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Jesus tells the man by the pool of Bethesda, get up, take up your mat and walk. Jesus tells the disciples to the multitude, you give them something to eat. And God often doesn't tell us something difficult. Most of the time, what are we tempted to say? Well, that's too easy. And all you have to do is trust him. Because the Lord's saying in your circumstance today, he's got a word for you. I've got this. Then you can trust him. Well, you might say, well, Pastor, that's really tough to trust him. Not if you know him. The more you know him, the easier it is to trust him. The more you recognize what he's done in the past, the more certain you are that he will show up in your future. When you realize how much God loves you, Brighton, you realize he's not going to let your life spin out of control and cause a disaster in your life. He loves you today. So as the worship band comes back, we make prayer so hard. It's simplistic. Ask him. Tell him. Trust him. One last point. Could you tell I was excited today? God's only going to tell you enough to get you to the next place.
Look up here a second. Ready? The strategy didn't say anything about AI, the next battle. The strategy didn't say anything about Bethel. In fact, they got in trouble at AI because they didn't inquire of the Lord. We'll look in a couple weeks again about Joshua got in trouble because, you know what? They didn't inquire of the Lord, Joshua 9, when it came to the Gibeonites. The strategy didn't say anything about AI. It didn't say anything about Bethel. Didn't say anything about Hebron. Didn't say anything about Jerusalem. Didn't say anything about Lachish. Brighton, I want you to know, you don't need to know everything. I think I need to know, or I want to know. But you know, we know all we need to know. I'm glad that, don't put your notes away because I'm adding one point that the Lord gave me this on Friday, I added yesterday. So please don't do that because you don't want to miss that. I'm glad that God hasn't shown us everything just enough to get us to the next spot. So out of relationship with Him, I have to trust and believe that He's going to tell me enough to give me the victory for today. Lord told Rhonda, it was a prophetic word, and we've stood on it many, many times. Probably a decade or more ago, Rhonda would tell you, Lord just spoke a word to her. Don't fear the future. I'm already there. We were worried. What's going to happen here? 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 God's got it. And you're better off just going to bed in a rest in God, saying, Lord, you got it under control. Lord, I trust you. You're going to figure it all out. There's a peace in God for you today. He takes care of one obstacle and one circumstance and one situation at a time. And it's the right time. I'm going to repeat that. It's a word for somebody today. He takes care of one obstacle, one circumstance, one situation at a time. And it's at the right time. You know, it wasn't very long. Joshua is saying, are you for us? Are you against us? And the Lord says through that captain of the army, you know, don't worry about that. Why don't you just take your shoes off and worship me? I got this. And I dropped this in my notes yesterday. It's this point. Let's just see. Brighten the... You must, if you're going to know the presence of God, you've got to live in this realm. Our experience with God's power and presence is in direct proportion to our worship. Our experience with God's power. How many of you want His power? How many of you want His presence? It's in direct proportion to your worship. Just be in His presence. Tell Him what you need for sure. Tell Him what you need. But just enjoy His presence. You see, if you get the answer to your need and you miss the presence, then you still come up short. I want you to hear me. If you get the answer, if God gave you the answer to your need, but you missed His presence, you still come up short in the whole deal, friend. Just enjoy Him. Because here's the deal. This is where I want to be. Anybody want to know a pastor's heart? His presence is even better than the solution. Where Joshua was meeting, just worshiping the Lord, it was better even than seeing the walls come tumbling down. That was the culmination. But just to be in the presence of holy ground, take your shoes off, bro. Just fall before me. His presence is way better than the solution. And if you're here today and you say, I need this, great. That you can live in that. Ask Him simply. But could I ask you to add an addendum to it? Lord, I need this.
But more than anything, I just want to be in your presence. Your presence is better than life itself. The Lord's speaking to some fighters. You're type A. You think you got to make it happen, friend. The Lord speaks a word to you today. It says, you know what? Would you kick kicking and trying to make it happen? Would you just enjoy my presence? Ask me, but just give me the need.